Hi, I'm Mitch Goldich, and welcome to the MMQB podcast, the show I host every week. Today is September 29th, 2021. As you know, the Patriots are 1-2, coming off a lopsided loss to the Saints. It was one of the worst performances of Tom Brady's career. After the game, he told reporters it was disappointing to play so poorly in front of his home fans, who could not attend games in Foxborough last year. The Patriots are now staring at their second straight disappointing season since Brady ended his whirlwind free agency tour of 2020 by re-signing with New England, the only professional franchise he's ever known. It's left the football world asking, does Brady regret returning to his longtime team? And will that fateful decision to spurn the Bears, Bucks, and Raiders, among others, make for an ugly ending to his historic tenure in Foxborough? Jenny Vrentis, Gary Gramling, and Connor Orr recap how the Patriots and their embattled six-time champion 44-year-old quarterback got here.
The truce came through an unexpected source. In March 2020, New Englanders were in nearly as much denial about the possibility that Tommy could leave the Patriots as most of our country was about the pandemic about to seize our lives. But it was on the verge of happening. Brady was set to become a free agent for the first time in his career. He downloaded the encrypted app Signal before the start of the new league year, allowing him to communicate with top brass from his most interested suitors without the risk of tampering charges. Intrepid reporter Signal apps were suddenly flooded with notifications. Tom Telesco is on Signal. Jason Light is on Signal. Then everything changed. Enter Jack Brady, then 12, Tom's oldest son. In late February, he and his dad had attended a New England Black Wolves game against the New York Riptide at Nassau Coliseum in Long Island. New England won 12-8. Jack was hooked. Professional lacrosse. This was going to be his sport. Suddenly, Brady knew what he had to do. The best connected person he knew in the lacrosse world was the coach from whom he was trying to separate, but Jack was more important. In a meeting at Robert Kraft's mansion on the eve of free agency, Belichick promised Brady he'd introduce his son to the lacrosse world, open doors for him, help him have the same kind of lacrosse career as Brady has had in football. They embraced. Brady and Belichick uncorked a bottle of red wine from Drew Bledsoe's vineyard. Brady ate nightshades, lots of them. Bill sent him home with his Johns Hopkins lacrosse half zip to gift to Jack, with the cutoff sleeves in a reusable green stasher bag. The environment was becoming increasingly important to Bill. As he exited Kraft's abode, Brady scrolled through the Signal notifications on his phone. BA had sent him several photos of biscuits, and Brady began to wonder if this was the extent of his offensive system. He also had a missed call from John Gruden, who had missed the Signal memo. Brady sent a screenshot of the missed call and text to the coach he'd just rekindled with, and they'd soon slap the Raiders with a tampering charge. Vegas would lose a third-round pick, which would just prevent them from taking a linebacker they'd cut a year later before he ever took a snap. Months later, on the first day of training camp, Brady's near-perfect pass glanced off the hands of New England's only new receiver, an undrafted rookie from Navy who would soon be called to complete his service obligations. Belichick then threatened to go get Johnny Foxborough down the street, and Brady grimaced. But later that night, Jack told him he had spent 6 hours practicing his lacrosse shot with Paul Rabil looking on via Zoom, arranged by Berge Najarian, Belichick's right-hand man, of course. And Brady relaxed again. As he approached his 43rd birthday, Brady was content in putting his son's athletic future ahead of his own. The Patriots' roster issues from 2019 would only be magnified in 2020. The team had a league-high number of COVID-19 opt-outs. They finished 7-9. They missed the postseason for the first time with Brady as a starter. But he and Bill appeared on a joint Zoom end-of-season press conference, wearing matching Rutgers lacrosse hoodies.
The offseason had begun as expected, albeit earlier than the Patriots are used to. There were will he or won't he questions about Tom Brady's potential retirement. There were also whispers of should he? After all, it had been two consecutive seasons without a postseason win in Foxborough. And statistically, Brady was coming off one of his worst seasons. The calls to star in luxury watch commercials just weren't coming. no cryptocurrency venture wanted to launch with him as its face. His favorite target, Julian Edelman, had been forced into retirement, and without significant upgrades to Brady's supporting cast, it seemed inevitable that the downward trend would continue. In free agency, the Patriots signed Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry in an attempt to capture the two tight end magic of years past, and they restocked the receiving core with role players Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne. Holding the 15th pick in the upcoming receiving-rich draft, more help for their embattled QB was surely on its way. Mock drafters everywhere projected New England to find its true number one receiver in April. Everyone connected the dots between Bill Belichick and Nick Saban and thought the Patriots might even move up to take one of Alabama's star receiver prospects.
We need mock drafts. They give us guidance, steel us for the terrifying inevitabilities the future holds, afford us comfort in a world of often unimaginable chaos. Simply put, we'd be lost without them. That holds true for every single one of us. The school teacher in Worcester, the sanitation worker in Nashua, the nurse in East Hartford, even the six-time Super Bowl winning quarterback in Brookline. Tom Brady, just like all of us, had been staring down the usual collection of names and dreaming of the possibilities, his expectations hardening as March turned into April. Rashad Bateman, the savvy route runner and analytical darling out of Minnesota. Kadarius Toney, the twitchy slot receiver who could become the latest iteration of Wes Welker in Foxborough. Some particularly bold projections even had Heisman winner Devontae Smith falling to the Patriots, though they wouldn't be so lucky on draft night. The receiver-needy Jets leapfrogged New England, jumping up to the 14th pick, but selected USC guard Ali Vera Tucker. Brady exhaled. He'd asked the team's scouting department to send along contact numbers for each of the draft's top 10 receivers. He'd already queued up the text, LFG, hyphen, hyphen, Tom. It was just a matter of plugging in the phone number of his next teammate. As the clock ticked down to under a minute, Brady watched as ESPN's draft night panel weighed in with their predictions. Mel Kiper and Todd McShay both went with Kadarius Toney. Louis Riddick interjected that he thought Rashad Bateman should and would be the pick, just as Roger Goodell arrived at the podium. With the 15th pick of the 2021 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select, Goodell gave it an extra beat, Mac Jones, quarterback, University of Alabama. For the broadcasters, the announcement elicited the kind of indecipherable cacophony of sounds normally reserved for Gus Johnson narrating a four-yard run. In his home, a stunned Brady slumped into the cushions of his velour sectional. Both Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft would say the right thing over the coming days, that Brady would be 44 at the start of the coming season, and Jones, the prolific Alabama passer wholeheartedly endorsed by Belichick confidant Nick Saban, was too important for the franchise to pass up. But Brady's silence over the coming months spoke volumes. Save for sporadic Instagram posts decrying the dangers of nightshade vegetables and a one-week gig hosting a reboot of the classic game show Card Sharks, that's the one where for 22 minutes contestants guess whether your card is higher or lower than another card, Brady was not heard from in the lead-up to training camp. But it was clear, according to a series of leaks to league insiders, that he was seething. The drama was so thick that it overshadowed a minor tiff between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers over a similar decision of Green Bay's front office to draft a QB of the future 1 year earlier. Sources deemed close to Brady floated the idea of a trade demand or retirement as the alternative. The Patriots scrambled to appease him. At one point, they tried to lure the quarterback's old friend Rob Gronkowski out of retirement, but the future Hall of Fame tight end remained fully devoted to his acting career. From the set of an untitled Lars von Trier project in the Ardennes Forest of southeast Belgium, Roland St. Groski, his adopted stage name, declined his former team's training camp invitation. As a consolation, the Patriots agreed to a condition set forth by Brady's camp: call the Houston Texans and reacquire an old reliable slot receiver, Danny Amendola. On the eve of the opening of Patriots training camp, hordes of cameras descended on Foxborough, and internet sleuths tracked the whereabouts of Brady's private jet. But while Belichick, Kraft, and the Patriots brass had indeed been forced to sweat it out for part of the offseason, they knew what we'd all find out for sure. Tom Brady was coming back for one more year.
Any optimism at the start of the 2021 season quickly gave way to skepticism. After a sloppy but comfortable season-opening win over the Dolphins, the Patriots suffered a surprising loss to the division rival Jets. Zach Wilson threw for four touchdown passes, and after the game, his teammates wore t-shirts with his cartoon face on them. The TV debate shows hyped up the entire rookie class, and Mac Jones made headlines for liking an Instagram post about how rookie QBs in this era are more ready than ever. Then the Patriots were outclassed by Taysom Hill and the Saints. While most of the offense's struggles in a 23-10 loss could be attributed to poor pass protection, the Patriots' receivers' inability to get open, and a costly fourth down drop by Nelson Aguilar, it was impossible not to notice how helpless Brady looked against the New Orleans defense. He was increasingly stationary after being battered throughout the 2020 season. Which brings us to right now, this very moment. Even a decisive Week 4 win wouldn't have made anyone believe that the Patriots could take the AFC East crown back from the Buffalo Bills. There was little energy inside the Patriots building or outside of it as they prepared to host the hapless Buccaneers, winless through three games and in the midst of a 13-year playoff drought.
Wednesday, September 29th, 2021. Bill Belichick walks to the podium. His salt and pepper hair is manicured and his mesh Valentino bomber jacket partially obscures the twill basic fit flannel from Brunello Cucinelli that is unbuttoned down to his chest. Ever since the Patriots football dynasty has crumbled from an on-field perspective, he has looked forward to these moments in front of the camera longingly, not only to experiment with his burgeoning wardrobe choices, but to try out his various characters, which he has been developing for a series of short, independent films he's been producing, largely during practice time, about the destruction of the rainforest. Belichick plays every character. Much has changed since the 2021 draft, when the still straight-laced Belichick sternly drafted a quarterback in the first round, signaling his desire to reboot another dynasty without Tom Brady. While no one knows truly why he decided to abandon this stone facade, it is said that he stopped on a whim en route to the office one day and filmed the blooming of a flower. He went to work the next day showing everyone the hours-long clip, which he condensed to roughly 4 minutes using a feature on his iPhone. His platoon of clone assistants were confused and did their best to write this off as a blip on the brilliant coach's laser-focused radar. While he was head coach in name, Tom Brady had taken over that responsibility once Belichick decided to free himself creatively. The Kraft family, out of thanks for Belichick's years of service, allowed the coach to continue drawing a salary and remaining the acting head coach, despite the fact that he would sometimes, during training camp practices, caused the team various delay of game penalties for workshopping various improv techniques with his players as they attempted to break the huddle. At the podium, Belichick is discussing an upcoming game against the Buccaneers, a forgettable 1 p.m. slate voiced by CBS's Spiro Dedes and color commentator Rob Gronkowski, who left the shallow world of Hollywood for the more straight-laced world of broadcasting, where there are no egos or dishonest people. Belichick said he enjoyed his time with the gregarious tight end during a week that the pair had taped several pilots for HGTV on a new fix-it home program centered around home renovation inside one's mind. Basically, Belichick said, for those who can't afford construction materials and labor, it's a show about transforming your space via the power of imagination. When he said imagination, his voice got uncharacteristically high and he splayed jazz hands to both sides of his body. Tom Brady watched the press conference and fumed. While full control of the team was something he had always desired, Belichick's budding career as a man of the stage filled the quarterback with immense jealousy. When was my turn to act? Brady thought. Where was my show? Belichick had long disallowed Tom to step into the limelight. famously nixing a pair of Subway commercials that nearly caused Brady to flee Foxborough in the dead of night to sign with the Las Vegas Raiders. Belichick said the commercial idea was trite, a play on his aversion to eating bread. Who would ever watch such a thing? But Tom knew it was about his own secret wishes to one day win a Tony Award. The concession was that Brady would coach the team, pick all the players, and call the plays, while Belichick greenlit Acid Rain, My Journey to Save the Scarlet Macaw, the name of his independent rainforest film, as a stage production. As Tom stepped off a flight to Tampa Bay as part of a covert practice observation operation, the reins of which he'd been handed after getting the keys to the head coach's office, he decided to skip his rendezvous with a pair of secret agents and head to the Ybor Channel, where, almost instinctively, he began to browse apartments along the waterfront. Something about this Floridian paradise spoke to him deep inside, almost as if he were meant to be here. At that moment, it struck Tom that he did not really want to act, but he merely wanted to best his mentor again. This was just like football all over again. His heart softened, and he began to settle into a peace with himself and his legacy. He was happy for Bill Belichick and his stage show, and Venmo'd the coach $11,000 to cover some of the set design costs. Tom knew at that moment something was happening in Tampa Bay. Tampa! He said with a relaxed sigh, hands stretched out wide, as if he were on the bow of the Titanic. I am home. Upon returning to New England, Brady handed the ball to a young man named McCorkle Jones and told him that everything inside the building belonged to him now. The pads, the sleds, everything. That football could be his future if he wanted, but cautioned him to first check his inner compass. The Patriots lost the game 35-0 on the strength of four touchdown passes from Buccaneers quarterback Nick Mullins.
Wow, that was some powerful theater. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So listen, we did this whole silly kind of thing that you just listened to because one of the main narratives that's sort of taken hold is that the Patriots made some tragic error in letting Tom Brady walk. And look, this situation down in Tampa is different, and we thought it was worth kind of an examination of what would have happened had Brady stayed in New England. Would they have won a Super Bowl last year? It seems like probably not. But, you know, no one knows for sure. And I guess now we'll launch into a slightly more serious conversation about the topic. But I don't know, we'll start with you, Jenny. I mean, just generally, what are your thoughts of the scenario where Tom Brady did re-sign with the Patriots and Brady and Belichick are still in business in 2020 and 2021?
You know, I think the roster was at a point where they needed a couple years to regroup, recalibrate. Greg Bishop and I wrote a story earlier this year about the gap year Patriots, the 10 years between when their first clump of championships, and the second clump of championships. And so if you think about it in that context, you know, even the greatest coach and greatest quarterback combination had already needed a regrouping period. And I think they were at this point again. So when you hear Belichick's quote leading into this week that we weren't as good an option as Tampa, it wasn't a question of not wanting him. For Brady, if you look at the Tampa roster, that was a team that was primed for success and just needed a quarterback. It was a roster that, except for the quarterback position, was in better shape overall than the Patriots roster. So it makes sense that Brady was ready to go elsewhere because at this point in his career, you don't really have time to go through another reloading process. Now, of course, there were other factors involved. Obviously, the scrutiny on the relationship. We've heard Alex Guerrero speak out about that Bill didn't adjust to the way Tom needed to be coached in his 40s versus his 20s. And of course, all of those things were factors. But you can't discount the fact that this was a team that was going to need a reloading period and that Tom saw a better opportunity to win a championship the next year somewhere else.
And in a lot of ways, it's just like, I mean, obviously this is what happened. And so it feels the most natural and it just, because this is the life we're living and not the, thankfully not the borderline frightening parallel universe that we created in the previous segment. But it just, the whole thing made so much sense. And, you know, everybody seemed to be coming to a point where there was no longer, you hear this from musicians a lot, where maybe there's still some good vibes or there's still some friendliness between them, but they just can't make music with one another anymore. Like the whatever it is, the situation, the setup, the creativity, whatever was there making it good for so long is just not there. And I think that it was kind of an acknowledgement of that. Tom wanted to play with a better set of skill position players. You know, I think that there was definitely an attractiveness on Bill Belichick's end in starting over with a different quarterback, you know, and that started with Cam Newton. In a lot of ways, thought it would keep going with Cam Newton for a little while. But I think Mac Jones has kind of reinvigorated him a little bit in a different way, too. And so I just feel like it's, you know, the Patriots were a marriage that stayed together for far longer than any other, I think, would have stayed together under the same circumstances. But at the same time, in this game, like, everybody kind of wonders what else is out there and what else I could be accomplishing in other places.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to play deep into your 40s, I mean, obviously there's some motivation inherent in that, in proving that he can play longer than we could have ever fathomed. But also, what is motivating you, right? You won 6 Super Bowls in New England. There's not really that much more you can do to add to your legacy, even a 7th ring in New England, right? I think for Brady, there was clearly the appeal of another challenge of doing it somewhere else. And Bruce Arians told us this past January that Tom is playing for his teammates right now. He wants those guys to experience what he's experienced 6 times. And I think personally, too, Arian said he's making a statement. It wasn't all Coach Belichick. And so, of course, that's part of the motivation for both of them. Connor touched on it. Belichick starting over with a new quarterback. Brady proving that it wasn't all Belichick. And those are the kinds of things that keep the fire burning if you are going to have such a lengthy career in a difficult line of work.
And from Belichick's perspective, I mean, you've written about this, Jenny, the Johnny Foxborough thing. You talk to players over the years. One of the things that really made the Patriots go, as far as, you know, whether you want to call it Patriot way, if we're talking shorthand, is when players see Tom Brady is being treated like everyone else, that sort of sends a message to the rest of the team, like, oh, I guess I better get in line. I can't ask for better treatment than Tom Brady at this point.
Yeah, and one of the accounts that stood out the most to me was when Randy Moss described when he first got to the Patriots in 2007, hearing Belichick do that to Brady. And Randy Moss said he sat up a little straighter in his chair, and he realized if he's doing this to Tom, he can do this to any of us. He can do this to Randy Moss, right? And so it did allow the Patriots to bring in players and sort of fold them into the notoriously hospital-like environment of Foxborough and make it work. And I think what's interesting about Guerrero's recent comments are that philosophy was what made the Belichick, Brady, all of the dynasty years of the Patriots work. And then ultimately, though, it's also what led to the separation between Brady and Belichick when Brady didn't want to go through that anymore. And it's sort of hard to disagree with either of them here. You could see that Belichick was like, hey, this is the philosophy that's gotten us all these rings. If we veer from it, it's not going to work. But you can also understand Brady saying, like, hey, I want to do things a different way. You know, I'm at the end of my career, you know, I want something different than getting compared to the high school quarterback down the street when I miss one throw out of 30.
It is funny that, at least so far, though, right, it's manifested itself in, you know, Belichick famously would disallow players or certainly steer them away from doing like commercials and stuff. I think Tim Tebow wrote that in his book, that he asked if he could do a commercial and Belichick said, I don't think that would be a good idea. And so, like, Tom Brady's, like, freedom as a player so far has, like, essentially manifested itself in, like, one appearance on HBO's The Shop and then three awful Subway commercials. Like, you know, like, he is a more public and out there guy now, and I do enjoy it. I think, like, hearing him be more honest and about his mental preparation, some of the reasons that he does things is really fascinating. But at the same time, it's like this freedom that he achieved from the Patriot way. It's like, it's almost like, I don't know, would you eventually miss it? Would you want to go back to something like that? Do you want to be Coach Hart? I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting scenario.
I mean, Connor, there's also the crypto commercial.
Ah, yes. Very true.
I was going to say, sorry to cut in. And it is nice, by the way, that in the real timeline, I'm still allowed on this podcast. Hello, everybody. it's interesting. You know, we've learned so much. And in some ways, we've learned an answer to one of the biggest questions everyone always said, you know, how good would they be separately? And what would that be like? And even though we've learned so much from getting to see Brady last season, there are still so many unanswered questions, and it opens up new ones we'd like to know. And so along those lines of, you know, would he wish he was back? Like, it's interesting to me. It would be kind of interesting to see. The Bucks struggled a little bit early last season, but what if they had started like 3-7, or what if they were really bad last year? You know, it would have been interesting to see, would Brady have tried to Johnny Foxborough his teammates or a little bit, or how would he have handled that? And, you know, even though we got to see something totally new, we still got to see Tom Brady go through a winning season and be really good and be a contender, win a Super Bowl. You know, there's still plenty more that we haven't been able to see yet since the breakup.
We can also agree that Bill Belichick would have never let Tom Brady wear his hair as it's being worn right now.